Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, yo, hour number three of our radio program. It's the Infinity Sports Network. It is the Zach Gelb Show. We are in draft mode this time of the year. We're gearing up for next week. We're next Thursday, 32 picks. Can't wait for it in the first round, where all the months and months and months of speculation goes right into the trash can, and we figure out what the reality of the situation is. Now, I want to do a segment here where it's based off the quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, and Michael Penix Jr. But before we do this and talk about what's the best and most realistic fit, when you have a Venn diagram, you put the best, and then you put realistic, and you get the middle part of the Venn diagram, and that's going to spit out the answer for us. Because I could sit here and say, oh, for Caleb Williams, let's look deep down the board. The best fit could be the Buffalo Bills or the Detroit Lions. We know the Lions aren't A, trading up. We know the Bills aren't trading up to get a quarterback because they're not going to get rid of Jared Goff or Josh Allen, and nor should they get rid of Josh Allen. For Caleb Williams, I would get rid of Jared Goff, but not Josh Allen. So we'll do that in just a second. But my most fascinating takeaway from the Field Yates conversation, Samter, like, I ask you how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. You would agree, right? The number is five. You think five quarterbacks are going to go in the first round? I think that's pretty easy peasy with the way this has been talked about.
With a chance at six.
See, that's the part I've never even contemplated. When he talked, when I asked him, hey, Michael Penix Jr., because we know one, two, and three. It's going to be quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. The Patriots could trade out. I think they'll end up taking Drake May. And I have something to say about Drake May coming up later in this show that I think is going to surprise people. But Caleb Williams, one. Jaden Daniels, two. Drake May at three. That's what it feels like. I know there's been a lot of talk about McCarthy. McCarthy usurping May. I'll believe it when I see it. So those quarterbacks going one, two, and three. And maybe the Patriots trade the pick and a team like Minnesota comes up. Do they prefer McCarthy over May, the rate of McCarthy? Who knows? There's going to be three quarterbacks going in the first three picks of the draft. And then you know that there will be a fourth that goes at the absolute latest by six. And that's the part of this that's going to be fascinating to watch. It's really the spots at four and five. Because the Cardinals could trade back. The Chargers could trade back. And one of those teams elect to trade back. Then the Giants go, we're not taking a QB. And we're going to go and take a player at six. Whoever the best player is available at the time. Probably Malik Nabers. Because I got to think Marvin Harrison Jr. goes either four or five. a team makes a trade up for a quarterback, then boom, you take the next best player from most people's draft, and that's going to be Malik Nabers, even though I personally prefer Rome Odunze over Malik Nabers. But I'll take my personal preference out of it and just tell you how I think this is going to go. But let's say the Cardinals go, I'm not passing up on Marvin Harrison Jr. And Jim Harbaugh goes, oh, I'm not passing up on Joe Alt, or maybe I'll take Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze, whoever. Then the Giants will take a quarterback at six. As long as one of the four quarterbacks are available at six, the Giants will take a quarterback. So if you have four quarterbacks potentially going in the first five picks or four going in the first six, then the name Michael Penix Jr. is the one to watch. And you have that kind of pileup of teams at 11, 12, and 13 with the Vikings, the Broncos, and the Raiders. Only one of those teams will probably end up being successful if there is a trade up into four or five. Only one of those teams will probably move up. So let's just say the Vikings are the one to move up. Then the Broncos and the Raiders have a decision. Do you take Michael Penix Jr.? I think if Michael Penix Jr. goes to the Broncos, he will not be a good pro quarterback. I know he has Sean Payton, but they don't really have much in Denver right now. And I think that is a big part of it, because you look at the receivers that Michael Penix Jr. had at Washington, that was a really good environment and a really good situation with a really good coach in Kalen DeBoer. But if Michael Penix Jr. winds up with Stu's team, the Raiders, and you have Davante Adams, that's a pretty damn good 1-2 punch in the first year, especially with how you could throw the deep ball to Davante Adams. Because that's when I watch Michael Penix Jr., that's my big concern about him. And Michigan kind of exposed this. They dared him to make the underneath throws, and he wasn't able to in that national championship game. And you go back to the semifinal game against Texas, the pinpoint deep ball accuracy was crazy. And how many different quarterbacks have joined us in the last few weeks, and they've said, from a pure passer of the football, down the field, they think Michael Penix Jr. is the best pure passing quarterback from the pocket in this draft. A lot of that, I think, though, is with the deep ball accuracy. I think the middle and the short throws are what potentially concerns me with Michael Penix Jr., but you put him in the right environment with the right wide receivers, I think he could be a good quarterback in this league. But it seemed like this, Samter, when it came to Field Yates, and he even said it with the date, right? I don't know if he thought that was going to get aggregated and pumped out there, but he said it with the date, like today, closing in on 5 p.m. Eastern time, when he said it a few moments ago on April 16th, I have Michael Penix Jr. over Bo Nix. I have not heard a peep about Bo Nix in this draft process. And I'll reveal this, and this is not anything that's crazy. I've been trying to get Bo Nix on this show for the last month. I have a connection to the Bo Nix camp. And everyone's busy this time of the year because you're going on all these visits, especially when you're a quarterback. So me saying that Bo Nix has been busy and Bo Nix has been on a lot of meetings isn't this great revelation. But maybe the Bo Nix market is a little bit more active than what we thought. I would still be surprised if he goes in the first round. But what Field Yates just said makes me wonder if at the back end of the first round, if a team tries to move up from the second round and get a head start, or early on in the second round, let's see like the first seven picks of the second round. Carolina's not taking a quarterback. Let's say the Patriots pass on a quarterback at three. Could Bo Nix be in play at 34? I guess. Arizona won't. The Commanders are going to take a quarterback, so they won't. The Chargers won't. Tennessee at 38 won't. And if Carolina at 39, they won't. So Bo Nix, maybe at the end of the first round, but the first three picks, Carolina, New England, Arizona, maybe even four, Washington, I think those first four picks of the second round is Bo Nix territory, just maybe not with any of those four teams that we do talk about. But I was surprised that when I said I have five quarterbacks going in the first round, and like, is Penix you know, next guy off the board, how early? And he's like, don't sleep on Bo Nix. But I, right? It seems like you haven't heard Bo Nix's name at all during this draft process.
No, but I mean, if we're talking about four quarterbacks potentially going in the top six, then you've got 26 other picks to get these other two quarterbacks in. It's not unfeasible. There's a lot of teams that need a quarterback, and getting that extra year, having a first-round quarterback, getting that fifth year,
it's big.
It makes a big deal with these quarterback salaries. So this is why Lamar Jackson went 32, why the Ravens traded up to get him there.
No, he should have been earlier in the draft.
For sure, but the reason why the Ravens traded up, they're like, we'd rather have him in the first round, get that extra year in case he does pan out, than take him in the second or third round or whatever he could have fallen down to. So there's extreme value in taking the guy in the first round. So if a team like the Broncos or the Vikings or whoever it is, or the Raiders, can't get one of those top five guys, or maybe they have Nix above Penix, it makes sense. I'd rather take Penix or Nix or whatever in the first round, even at 13, 14, even if it's a huge reach, if you think that he could be your quarterback, then wait until the second, third, fourth round. Because look at the Titans, for example, right?
With
Will Levis.
But also, quickly,
yeah.
In that draft, if you recall, three quarterbacks did go early. You had Young one, you had Stroud two, Richardson four, and then everyone thought Levis was going to be a first-round pick, maybe in the top five. He didn't go until the second round.
And same thing, Malik Willis for the Titans the year before that slid down.
Went to the third round.
So with Levis, if he ends up panning out, the Titans have to, you know, they have less time to evaluate
him. It's a good problem to have, though. But I get what you're saying.
But so part of it is they have to know for sure if he's the guy. Yeah. But now you have less time to make the decision on whether
you'll know that after this year, though. You will know this year if he's capable of being the guy. Because what they did was they said this offseason, okay, we already have DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to go get you. We'll overpay. We'll get you Calvin Ridley. We'll bring in Tony Pollard, who's not great, but he's solid. And then they'll go get a good player on the defense side of the ball, Legarius Sneed. They did enough this offseason where I'm not saying anyone's believing Tennessee should go be a big contender or a big player, but it's enough to evaluate Will Levis. And that's a problem with a lot of these teams that draft a quarterback. This is what scares me the most because I just saw a play out with my team. Yeah, you make the playoffs year one with Mac Jones, but after that, you didn't have an offensive coordinator that was actually an offensive coordinator. You had no number one weapon, so the fit is so big. And I think Bo Nix would be a bad fit in Denver. The Raiders, all right, you got Davante Adams. So you got something there. But I don't think they're going to take him with the 13th overall pick with the Raiders. I'm trying to think where Bo Nix can go.
The Vikings make sense. Bo Nix is 24 years old. If you're the Vikings, you want a guy who can come in right away and be successful. You don't. Penix, Bo Nix makes sense. You don't want a young guy that's taken 2 or 3 years to develop.
But you got to remember, the Vikings are at 11. They're projected to move up. So if they move up, let's just talk about this realistically. If they move up into the 3 to 5 spot of this draft, they're either taking Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. Jaden Daniels is going to. So they would either take Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. They don't move up at 11. They can't move up. I got to think it's Michael Penix Jr. is the guy. I feel better about Michael Penix Jr. than I do with Bo Nix. I think the spot Bo Nix goes to is where there's already an established quarterback. And they say, okay, if this quarterback doesn't pan out or we don't get a deal done with this quarterback, then that could be the quarterback of the future. And you know who the two teams are? It's the Dolphins and the Dallas Cowboys. And before everyone says, Zach, what the heck are you talking about? Like, well, what drugs are you on? Neither of those teams have got a deal done yet with Dak Prescott or Tua Tagovailoa. Both of them are in the final year of their contract. No long-term extension. So, is it crazy to see a team set up a potential plan if you can't get a deal done? And I get it. You could slap the franchise tag on Tua. And Dak Prescott, you can't. But that could be kind of an insurance move. I don't know. Like what the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts. And they already paid Carson Wentz at the time. So it's not crazy. But I feel as if Bo Nix is going to land probably in a spot where, like, if Denver gets him, they'll find a way, and I know they don't have a lot of capital, but to trade up somewhere in the second round and get into the second round to get him. But if he's going to go in the first round or the early second round, you know, you got to think maybe back end of the first round. Like, I don't know if Dallas takes him in the first. I don't think the Dolphins would take him in the first. But that second round, you go move up and go get a guy if you see falling just to be there in case you don't get a deal done with Dak or Tua. And both those guys are good quarterbacks. But that's like, that's where I think Bo Nix is going. I never really thought of Bo Nix being a first round pick until Field Yates said it. So anyway, let's take a timeout here. When we come on back on the Infinity Sports Network, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, and Drake May. When you combine the best and the most realistic fit, who's the team that we will spit out to you? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Zach Gelb showing the Infinity Sports Network. It is the Infinity Sports Network. You could stream us, youtube.com/@InfinitySportsNet. So Chef Michael in California, gave an interesting suggestion. And I don't think this has been a team that we've talked about yet, about potentially drafting a quarterback, but I don't hate it. And they have an early-ish pick in the draft. They're like in the middle part of the draft. And that's the New Orleans Saints. They don't have a quarterback of the future. Now, this is the tricky part. You don't just take a quarterback to take a quarterback. But they're sitting there at 14. Michael Penix Jr. still there at 14? Do you pass on him? Now, let's say Bo Nix falls into the second round. Do you pass on him at 45 when you have your second round pick? That's another team that you got to look at. Now, here's the problem, though. With those two guys in particular. If this was a conversation about Drake May, slam dunk because he's younger. Bo Nix is already 24. He turns 25 in February. Michael Penix Jr. is 23. He turns 24 next month. Can you sit Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix for a year? Probably not. But here's the other part, too. Derek Carr just ain't that good. So if you think Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix is that dude for your team, whether it's in the first round or the second round, I'm not caring about the feelings of Derek Carr. But this is something that Stu knows and I know. Derek Carr is not going to be a good soldier. And Dennis Allen does love Derek Carr. So I'd be surprised if the Saints end up taking Michael Penix Jr. because I do believe he'll be a first-round pick. But in the second round, I don't think it's crazy that Bo Nix starts to fall. You go get him. Now, dead cap, I know it's not as we once explained. You can move it around with the post cuts and things like that. The dead cap, though, for next year with Derek Carr, $50 million. 2026. $28 million. And he's a free agent in 2027. You know, good on Derek Carr. Not one of my favorites if you listen to this show. But he went from being released from the Raiders into getting a four-year, $150 million contract from the Saints. Stu, what's your honest analysis of Derek Carr? Because I don't want to say I hate Derek Carr because hate's just too strong of a word. But he's just like obnoxious to me. He's just a dude that it's always the woe is me kind of feel with Derek Carr. There was a lot of situations, don't get me wrong, where he got screwed over with the Raiders. But I kind of feel as if his leadership style is a little phony at times. And I understand you got to carry yourself in high class and high regard. And you should think that you're the best. But anyone that actually thinks that this dude, and if he actually thinks he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, he's definitely not. He was probably my favorite player for like 5, 6, 7 years.
Which isn't saying
not
much.
Not saying a lot, yeah. But.
Who are you going to pick, Robert Gallery?
I mean, I loved Derek Carr at one point. It just got to a point like the last 2 or 3 years where I was ready to move on. I have had enough with him. I was happy when they decided to part ways with him, and now it's just like I'm kind of happy. Even though my team doesn't have a quarterback right now, I was kind of happy to not have that problem anymore.
Do you want your team to take a quarterback in the first round?
Yeah, I do, if it's the right one. Like, I would not mind Penix. I think he would be good.
Okay, so trade-up category. Just give me yes or no. Would you be interested trading up for Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
Would you be interested in trading up for Drake May?
No.
Would you be interested in trading up for J.J. McCarthy?
No.
Would you be interested in trading up for Michael Penix Jr.?
Yes.
Okay. How about Bo Nix?
No.
Obviously, you're not going to trade up from 13. Now, how about you take a player at 13 and then you trade up with your second round selection into the back end of the first round and, I don't know, maybe give up a future second round pick or something to go get Bo Nix?
I guess. I mean, if it's the second round and a future pick, I guess. If they're really convinced that Nix is that good, but I'm not convinced he is.
Okay. Let's get to this. I'll give you the five quarterbacks right now. I'll give you the six. Williams, Daniels, McCarthy, May, Penix, and then Nix. When you combine best fit and most realistic fit, what is the answer? For Caleb Williams, it's the Bears. The Bears are not a bad fit. I get it. That's where quarterbacks pretty much go to have their careers ruined. And the Bears, the organization, though, is in a different spot right now. I'm not going to tell you Ryan Poles is the greatest GM in the world. I'm not going to tell you Matt Eberflus is the greatest head coach in the world. But you have enough. Just drafting on the offensive line. You have DJ Moore. You got Keenan Allen. You got more than enough for a young quarterback to be able to swim rather than sink when entering a franchise. I will then go for Jaden Daniels. It's the Commanders. You have Terry McLaurin. That is an underrated wide receiver in the NFL. I think he is a top 10 wide receiver in the league. I know that you have a new coaching staff in there with the Commanders, but Jaden Daniels is just, I think there's only two quarterbacks that have the potential of being elite in this draft. I really do. It's Williams and it's Daniels. I think Drake May has potential to be very, very, very good. But what concerns me with Drake May, and I've said this from all along, is that the difference between how people view the floor to the ceiling with him, where the floor seems like Wentzy and bad, and then the ceiling is, oh, he could be a combination of Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. And I hear that, I'm like, all right, that seems pretty good to me, if you don't say so myself. But then there's like the Wentz part about it, where you could look like an MVP one year, and then you're never able to capture that back up, and you end up just making dumb decision after dumb decision. So Williams and Daniels are the two best quarterbacks in this draft class. Bears and Commanders is what they're going to go, and I think that's both the best and most realistic fit for those guys when you get what's in the middle of that question. Now, for McCarthy, May, Michael Penix Jr., and Bo Nix. I'll go Bo Nix first just because I already kind of spoiled it. It's the Cowboys. This is what the Cowboys do. It would be the perfect drama scenario where I don't believe that the Cowboys are going to take a quarterback in the first round, but they're sitting there at 24. So let's say they bypass at 24, and then in the second round they have a pick at 56, they can move up from 56 to go get a quarterback. And it's something that Jerry Jones would love to do. Oh, yeah, Dak Prescott is your guy. You believe in Dak Prescott. But then you add a little drama into it. And Trey Lance is still on that roster, too. I would actually, now it's not going to be in Dallas. Can we see Trey Lance actually get his butt on the field? Can we see someone give Trey Lance an actual opportunity? That was another guy. The floor is really low. The ceiling is really high. Everyone's telling me potential. I remember because Trey Lance, yeah, that was the Lawrence draft class. Yeah. It was the Trevor Lawrence draft class. I remember getting into a screaming debate on the show when Ryan Hickey, who does a great job for JR producing, used to be my producer, and host Hick at Night on the Infinity Sports Network. give you a little plug, give you a little pop hickster, my guy. Sundays from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time, many of these same great Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app. And Hickey said to me, oh, well, Trey Lance is the highest ceiling out of any quarterback in the show. I'm like, based off what? Like, Trevor Lawrence was the ceiling for that draft class. And now you're telling me after 3 years of everyone slobbering on Trevor Lawrence, someone that could be better than Trevor Lawrence? So I usually hate that word, highest ceiling, and it concerns me, and it makes the hair on my neck just stand up. But that's like one of those scenarios where Trey Lance, highest ceiling guy, highest ceiling guy. What the heck happened from that? Where you go to San Francisco, year one, it's Jimmy G. Then year two, you're supposed to be the guy, you get hurt. And now no one in the NFL wants to put you on the field as a starting quarterback? That's wild to me. It's absolutely wild and stunning to me. Where this guy really didn't even get a chance. So is it that bad behind the scenes? And I interviewed Trey Lance once. Was blown away by Trey Lance. I interviewed Trey Lance a year before he got drafted. A full year before he got drafted. More than a year. Polished, sharp. Just sounded like a quarterback. And now this dude can't even see the field. So Bo Nix would be my fit for the Cowboys. Where it'd be in the second round somewhere. Jerry Jones would stir up a lot of drama. And there's always that thought, okay, Dak wants to walk at the end of the year. You need some replacement plan right away. Some have said that Bo Nix is a first-round talent. All righty. Now to the next three. J.J. McCarthy. It's the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings, if they trade up, I know a lot of people are going to speculate that it's going to be Drake May. Personally, I feel like Drake May is going to go three to my New England Patriots. But I look at J.J. McCarthy, and I said this before in the show, and I'll say it again. He goes to New England. He goes to the Giants. It's going to be a disaster. New England doesn't have a number one wide receiver. The Giants, the best wide receiver is Jalen Hyatt right now. You look around. I know that Daboll is there with the Giants, an offensive-minded head coach, but had one good year, then one bad year. J.J. McCarthy would be a fail in the NFL, a failure in the NFL. If he goes to New England, or if he goes to the New York Giants. Minnesota, they got to move up to go get him. You put J.J. McCarthy in a dome with the creativity of Kevin O'Connell, and you have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, I think J.J. McCarthy could be good. I don't think J.J. McCarthy is a ceiling of a great quarterback, but I do think there is some untapped potential. And I look at him, and I do believe he could be good if put in the right spot. So J.J. to Minnesota. All righty. For the combination of best and most realistic fit, Drake May, the New York Giants. I don't think anyone's made this point yet about Drake May. So many people compare him to, like, a poor man's Josh Allen. Well, who did Josh Allen have his most success with? Brian Daboll. Now, this would require the Giants to move up from 6, but it's not impossible to move up from 6-3 or 6-4 or 6-5. That's not a crazy jump whatsoever. So Drake May, not only because of the Daboll connection, but what does everyone say about Drake May? Probably not NFL ready. You may have to sit him for the majority of his first season. Well, you have Daniel Jones, who I know they pay him as if they believe in him, but they don't actually believe in him. And in his wandering eyes yesterday at the press conference, so this thing is over. This thing's a disaster. You could throw Daniel Jones to the wolves and hope that Daniel Jones stays healthy, which has been a problem in his career. And if Daniel Jones does, he could weather the storm until May's ready. And if he doesn't, then you have to throw May earlier into the situation than what you would like. And then finally, Michael Penix Jr., it's the Raiders. It's Stu's Raiders. I think he'll be there. Right at 13, I don't know if they're going to take him. But having Devontae Adams there, you need a quarterback. You have an opportunity here to capitalize off some positive energy from a year ago. You don't get a quarterback and Minshew doesn't able to really pop off, or Aiden O'Connell's not the guy, which I don't think neither of those guys is a long-term answer. Then next year you're looking at a potential trade situation where Devontae Adams is like, okay, I know I said I was good, but now I'm no longer good because we don't have a quarterback and I want to go play with someone that could actually throw the rock. All righty, Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. The future of Steph Curry and LeBron James why they need to be on the same team next year. I'll tell you why next. Update time. Here he is, the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I have an admission to make. For the last few months, I've been very no Drake May, no Drake May, no Drake May. Now, this is new territory for me. I'm not used to having my football team suck. I'm not used to picking in the top three. These are all foreign concepts to me. I wanted Jaden Daniels. I still want Jaden Daniels. But I have to be realistic. I can't keep on asking for the PlayStation 5 during the holidays, and I don't have the resources, let's say, to get the PlayStation 5. You know, you gotta just be honest with yourself. So, when I was upset when my football team won at the end of the year against the Broncos and the Steelers, screw those two fan bases, by the way. Steelers, you couldn't beat us, you never beat us. We suck, you still can't beat us. And the Broncos? Come on, Chad Ryland was trying to kick the Patriots to the second overall pick. He was missing field goals throughout the entirety of that game, and then he made a big kick at the end. But I still stand by the idea that Jaden Daniels will be the better quarterback than Drake May. This is why I know it stinks to tank. But towards the end of the season, when people are like, oh, it's so good to win. It's wonderful. What's the difference of like 4 or 5 wins? Oh, yeah. The second or the first overall pick to then sitting there at 3 when you have a draft that's going to be quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. So I'd rather have Caleb Williams. I'd rather have Jaden Daniels. But at 3, I'm going to give the Zach Gelb endorsement as a Patriot fan, for this team to draft Drake May. And even though I am scared leapless about the possibility and the difference and the wide range from the floor to the ceiling with this guy, and how I was not blown away from what I've seen this past year with him, if this guy could turn out to reach that ceiling, or if he could just come close to touching the ceiling, don't even touch the ceiling, just come close. You're talking about an athletic, big quarterback that could chuck the ball, that's getting comparisons to a Josh Allen and a Justin Herbert. Hey, you ask me right now, Zach, would you want Josh Allen? Yeah, hell yeah. You want Justin Herbert? Hell yeah. So if this guy has the potential to be that, this is my endorsement for the Patriots to draft Drake May, but with one little caveat. You don't play him in year one. You punt on year one. And I don't care how much I bitch and complain in October when this dreadful football team continues to be dreadful. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, I can't watch Jacoby Brissett anymore. He sucks. Don't care. Samter, you have the ability to punch me in the face. I am giving you the right. You could punch me in the face if this team drafts Drake May and Drake May only, and I'm sitting there like week 5 or week 6 or week 7, and I'm saying, play him, play him, play him, play him, play him. You sit him for the entirety of the season. Maybe the last 3-4 games of the season you could throw him in out there. But for the majority of the season, you sit him, and then this offseason, Robert Kraft, you are a bad man. And you will go out there and you go get this dude good, great NFL wide receivers. Because I like KJ Osborne. I like Kendrick Bourne, friend of the show. They're not number one wide receivers. Okay, they're not. When I have to get excited about Hunter Henry coming on back and re-signing with this team, that shows you the lack of weapons that this team has. So, on April 16th, in the year of 2024, I am in on the Patriots taking Drake May as long as they barely play him in year one.
So just good news for you. I just got off the phone. Gerard Mayo and Robert Kraft just called me. And they said, we're not going to draft Drake May unless we got the seal of approval from Zach Gelb.
That's
now that
you've
officially given the okay and the thumbs up, it looks like Drake May might be in play for the Patriots at number three.
I'm just saying. That endorsement is very, very, very important. I'm quickly scrubbing Twitter right now and seeing how many bad Drake May tweets I've had. I've only think I've been anti-Drake May on the show. I can't really find anything on Twitter.
I mean, I think the story about Drake May is everything that we've been hearing is that he has this incredible talent, this incredible upside, this incredible skill set.
That scares me.
He has all the stuff that looks great for an NFL quarterback, and when he's on, he is elite. The problem is he's inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the same thing with Josh Allen. Josh Allen, when he was on, was incredible at Wyoming, but then when he was off, he couldn't catch a throw.
That's also severe. Who was watching Josh Allen at Wyoming? Can we be
scouts
honest?
This yeah. was what I'm, the I'm scouting just, reports were. Not me.
Yeah. Late,
I watched a
late,
few games
late.
With Josh
they were
Allen.
Watching him, yeah.
Well, I watched a few games with Josh Allen because the buzz was there, but for the and the Jets were in play to potentially get him. You
yeah,
know,
that's right.
Darnold ended up being that pick there instead.
In a previous life or something.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Gosh, man. Josh Allen. But I guess my point is that, like, I don't think I've heard anything that swayed me one way or the other. It's always been the same thing. The guy has the tools to be elite. He's just been so inconsistent. So the question is, do you want to roll the dice and gamble? And it's like a 50-50 shot.
Roll the dice.
Yeah, it's a 50-50 shot. If he's going to end up turning into Josh Allen and getting rid of those bad habits and those inconsistencies and being great consistently, or if he's just going to, like,
So you know why it concerns
not
me?
Not be that.
It concerns me because how many times have we seen people say that not is someone going to be like Mahomes, but they could be 50% of Mahomes or 75% of Mahomes. We've heard that a lot in the draft class with Trey Lance, with Zach Wilson. Both those guys have done nothing in the NFL, and that's the fear. Now, you also heard a little bit about that with Jordan Love, and not that Jordan Love is Patrick Mahomes, but Jordan Love did some impressive things his first true year as a starter. So come Thursday night, like a few weeks ago, I thought I was going to be cursing out the TV if they take Drake May. I've talked myself into Drake May now. But they can't play him year one. They play him more than 3-4 games year one, they're going to ruin another quarterback. And they can't ruin another quarterback. Alrighty. Tonight, in the play-in tournament, go Pelicans. Go Pels. I want to see them beat the Lakers. Nothing anti-Laker here. Nothing all screw Stu here. It's because I want to see on Friday night LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers go up against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. And the winner of that would play the Oklahoma City Thunder. I look at the Warriors game tonight, too, against the Sacramento Kings. You know, we need the Warriors to win. All right? That's doable. How about the Kings, man? They were such a fun team last year. People thought they were ready to make that next step. And they've been disappointed that they're in the play-in tournament this year. But give me Warriors and Lakers coming up Friday evening, and I'll be all in on this play-in tournament. But any or either of these fan bases, Golden State or the Lakers, that think they're winning another championship again if they don't make significant changes, you're crazy. Like, the Lakers know they got to make significant changes. The Warriors, I think their fans may know it, but even with new management in, that entire organization is like, oh, Clay, oh, we'll bring him back on a cheaper deal. Oh, Draymond, yeah, he'll go punch about 700 other people, but Draymond's still our guy. We need Draymond Green. The Warriors need to do this offseason. They need to find a way, beg, pray like you never prayed before. To get that someone will take Draymond. Attach picks if you need to. You want to bring Clay back on the cheap? Fine. But Steph's got to work his magic here. LeBron has floated out that idea before about being on the same team as Steph Curry. Steph's still got a few years left on that contract. LeBron James can opt out this summer. We don't know what the future of LeBron James is. I think most of us expect that he'll be back with the Lakers and they run it back. But LeBron James should opt out. Steph Curry and LeBron should get on the same phone, and they should get LeBron James to Golden State. And I don't know if it wins a championship, but it makes the Golden State Warriors fun. You know, it makes watching Steph Curry and LeBron James fun again, where you watch them right now and you both look at their teams, you're like, nope, neither of those guys are going to win a championship. Neither of those guys are going to win another championship again. And now, there's not like a super team out there. Like, the Suns try to be a super team, but they're not. You got dynamic duos in Boston. You got Jason Tatum and you got Jaylen Brown. In Denver, you got the Joker and Jamal Murray. In Dallas, you got Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. With the Bucks, as long as he stays healthy, you got Giannis Antetokounmpo and Dame Lillard. This is a league now of dynamic duos. So partner up on the back end of both of their careers, LeBron James and Steph Curry. That's what I want to see come next NBA season. Stu, is LeBron back with your Lakers next year?
I think he is.
I think he's back. I think he is, too. Even though I just suggested what I just suggested.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate your suggestion. I think that'd be really good for the league.
It'd be great for the league. Yeah. It'd be phenomenal. You have these two good teams that used to be good, and you have these two great players trying to both win another championship, and you know neither of them are going to win another championship because the Lakers do nothing, and the Warriors do nothing but try to repeat the history of the past and keep on doubling down on these guys. So let's set it up with Lakers lose tonight, Warriors win tonight. We see that on Friday. And maybe, just maybe, the winner of the game, that's who we determine where LeBron or Steph goes. Now, in all likelihood, it would have to be LeBron going to the Warriors. Let's get that happening. Is there any chance, around the room real quickly, just give me a number. Out of 100, what's the chance LeBron retires this offseason?
5 out of 100. 5.
5? Samter?
Very low. 5-10%.
Okay. I'll say 15. That number will drop, though, if Bronny goes back to college. If Bronny stays through with this draft process and gets drafted, I wonder if LeBron then hangs it up. That's why the number is that rich. Because, once again, I believe LeBron wants to play on the same team as his son, but I don't know how much his son is going to welcome that idea. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Appreciate you stopping on by today. We're here weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 p.m. Pacific. Big thanks to Field Yates for joining us earlier in the show, and also Marv Albert. How about Ack's impersonation of Marv Albert? I don't know, Ack had that in him. It was absolutely phenomenal. Big thanks to each and every one of you for listening, for entertaining us on social media, on the YouTube chat, youtube.com/@InfinitySportsNet. We'll talk tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.